Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bourque.
Braden Holtby!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live to tape from downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland, once again. And yes, it is that time of year. It is here. The playoffs for Lord Stanley's Cup. This is a Washington Capitals fan podcast, of course, and helping us out, as always, is my always sexy, always ever-present co-host.
A little snarky Fairfax tonight.
She's a little snarky tonight, so watch out, folks. She's got a little more bite to her bark, but I think some of you out there might like that. Of course, she is the mermaid memeing mentalist, the beautiful, wonderful Anna Knox.
Greetings. Greetings, 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 Gil and Cap fans out there in the DMV and wherever else they may be listening. Long day, kind of a shit day, but you know what? I'm rallying because one of my favorite people is going to be on the show tonight, and we are in the MF playoffs.
That we are.
Did you see that? I held back.
You cleaned it up for the kiddies.
Yeah. Okay, let's just go with that. Because I have a feeling I'm just going to like unload later. But yeah, all good. I'm ready. So,
now that you mentioned that, why don't you take a load off, Anna?
That's what she said. right? I mean, I told you, I have them just sitting there in a bag ready to come out. We are 72 hours away from spring break, and the teachers are done. The students are done. And today,
spring break.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
When things are all about, just not remembering, let's just put it that way, drinking and having a good old time. Not anymore. Now I'm just like, get me the fuck out of my classroom. I do. Like, I love my students, but I swear to God, like, I'm like, my patience level at this point is just done. And today I was intimidated by a student's older brother, which I don't do well with. Stuff like that. So he rubbed me the wrong way and vice versa. And who knows what'll happen tomorrow. I'll probably, I don't know, wake up to flat tires or something, but par for the course. So anyways, I'm ready to get this week over with. It's hump day tomorrow. You know, it's one of my favorite days for obvious reasons, and ready for Thursday kick ass playoff hockey, which I am pumped. That's where I'm at. And you're doing okay?
Well, yeah, it's of course still tax season where I'm at. Well, for everybody else too, of course. But yeah, I'm also starting to feel the strain. And yeah, next Monday, when everybody's supposed to be done with this crap, cannot come any faster. Of course, we're still expected to not even ask for days off until Good Friday, and it will be a very Good Friday when that Good Friday comes, because I will be off and nowhere near a phone, at least not a work phone, nor a work computer, nowhere near any customer who's whining about
Everything.
The fact that they swear to God they're entering the right damn password, even though it's not letting them log in. And shocking. Nice things like that that they say all the time. Yeah, but that's neither here nor there. As we said, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It is time to celebrate. It is time to gather once again, because we have a purpose, and that's to cheer our team on to accomplish what some would say is the impossible. Would you agree?
Oh, fuck no. I tell you, I am so riled up for this Capitals team this year that I am putting all of my positive juju, vibes, thoughts, witchy connections, whatever you want to call it, into these boys playing kick-ass playoff hockey like we know they can, 60 minutes like I know we all know they can. And how amazing, you know what, and I'll even say it, if they have the opportunity to win the cup, oh my God, like I could get emotional about it right now. That would be fantastic. It would be life-changing, and I don't even know. I'd have to like get a tattoo or something. But if they don't, I'm okay, because I am just proud of who they are as players and how far they've come. So, but you know, 99.9% of me is like, hell fuck yeah, let's, you know, lift that cup for the second time. I'm okay. I don't know. Like, I like this time of year. I like when it comes down to the best of the best in the NHL. And that's truly what you're going to have all the series across the board. You've got your best 5-on-5, and it's going to be good. And it's going to be like one of those times where I'm going to find myself rooting for teams that I probably never would have, but I'm going to, cause I hate the opponent that much more. Penguins, Knights. But yeah, so it's fun. So that's kind of getting me through my shit week of pre-spring break, blah. But yeah, I'm excited. So I don't know. And I'm all, you know, I go commando all year, so I don't know how I could really change it up that much more. I'm just gonna keep going with it, because why change it now? Right?
So why not?
Right. I mean, because the alternative would no. It's not going to happen.
Well, you could rock the red like Lisa does.
I don't know if I could, though. Like, she just, you know, she put that out there and talked about the thong. And I was like, you know what? That's fucking hot. You know, go Lisa. And I appreciate that. And that may just be her thing. So I'm like, I don't think I could, you know, join that party. And I'm not really a thong person.
True. You have more like thing.
Go commando, yeah. Keep rocking it and keeping the vibes going, and just super, super pumped for Thursday.
Sounds great. And as always, Anna, you said it all in your own inimitable fashion, but not to be outdone. It worked last year, so I have my annual rally speech prepared. Oh. Now, last year, I went over the history of what it is we're going after, but I'm not going to bore anybody with that. We should all know what it is we're going after, and that's, of course, what started out as the Dominion Challenge Hockey Cup, now known as the Stanley Cup. Okay, we all know what it is. Our team's name is on it now, and it's finally been immortalized in history. Well, we're going after it again, because you don't get to keep it more than a year. And so, that being a truly great thing that the Caps accomplished last year, I wanted to point that out. And history does remember kindly those who achieve greatness once. But history is far grander for those who accomplish greatness more than once. And that's what we're after here. And for this team, the benefits of history are finally outweighing the bad things. We Caps fans used to dread facing the demons of the past. No more. Now there's memories of a parade, wild celebrations everywhere, the banner being raised, all the fountain celebration and the glory of being able to bask in all of it in what was probably the best summer of our lives. Well, I don't know about you, my fellow Caps fans, but I want that all back. I want it all again. And I'm going to be a greedy son of a bitch about it. I want to hang on to it for as long as I can. But I won't lie. Everybody listening to this, and I thank you all for that privilege, you on the other side of the speakers, the earbuds, what have you, knows that with this 20-game plus match march comes a few perils along the way, comes a few potential dark spots, some cause for worry. After all, it's not just any team that wins it all, much less repeats. But worse than any team that tries to take it away is an enemy that knows no uniform or wears no uniform. That's called complacency. And that's the feeling you've done it all, and therefore you're just, well, done. And that's what we have to avoid. Sitting on our hands and not giving the best effort. Because there's something about tasting the sweetness of that rare air at the top of the mountain. It makes you want to never come down. I remember all of the good that came from bringing it all together last year, and I want it again. And I know from keeping in touch with all 100-plus followers of our Facebook page and all of our listeners from wherever, that you feel the same. So some of you may be listening and for the first time thinking, well, I'm just a fan. What can I do? Well, the answer is don't just be a fan. Be a fanatic. Because if I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. Fans watch games. Fanatics help win them. So let's play our part as Caps fanatics and get it done again. Let's heed the captain's call and not suck back to back. Thanks for indulging me.
Good gal. Go. Like, here I am. I'm just sort of, you know, winging it, dropping F-bombs and talking about my day, and then you come out with that. So way to one up.
I wasn't even gonna do that. And then driving
sure
home
were.
It just all came to me. So I figured, it worked last year. Put it out there again. Cause you know, it's how we all feel.
It's true. I agree. Let's go.
Yeah. Let's just go do it. So yeah, like you said, Thursday night can't come soon enough. So we do have some business to take care of, and that's wrapping up the season that was. There were two games left that were played. I'm not going to go into too much detail with them. Of course, the clinch game was this past Thursday against the Canadiens at home. It was a 2-1 win. They clinched the division with that. Lars Eller with the opening goal. Shea Weber tied it. Nick Dowd with the winner in the second period. And then the defense clamped down and did the rest, along with Braden Holtby, who stopped 33 of 34. And then came the game that I had the privilege of attending, along with Robbie Gross. And you listening might have seen the pictures of his face next to my mug. We finally got a chance to meet up in person. Nothing to see here game. 0-3 loss. Very pedestrian effort. You could tell there was a certain foot off the gas mentality, and yeah, it just wasn't there. And yeah, we all should have expected it, but you know, at least they didn't get blown out. One empty net goal and nothing to prove, nothing to lose or gain. So
honestly, I mean, the game, I was excited for you and Robbie because Robbie talked all about getting on the Jumbotron and getting a mug and all that kind of stuff. And so for me, I was excited for you guys to have that opportunity to kind of close out the season at home amongst, you know, the best of the best when it comes to fans. And I was glad, you know, they played mediocre. You know, they had Yaskin and Siegenthaler in and, you know, kind of getting those guys a chance to close out the season before the playoffs. I was okay with it. I was glad that Copley was in. But I will say that I am just the most grateful for the fact that no one was injured and no one was suspended. So it kind of was a snooze game to watch, to be honest, on the couch. But I will say, yeah, I'm just glad that nobody was injured and Tommy didn't drop the gloves. I was for sure thinking if he was going to end the season, it was going to be with Clutterbuck. But it didn't happen. And that shows you how much he's matured, and I'm okay with it. But I really thought if there was going to be an end to the season, that would have been a nice little tango to see between those two guys. But whatever, it's all good. But I'm just glad you guys had a good time.
Oh! I had a great time. I can't speak for Robbie, but I'm sure he had a ton of fun. Like you said, he won a mug and everything, and he took some great pictures. We finally got to meet up. Had about 5 minutes to chat and catch up, and he was pretty much on the other side of the building. I was in 105, he was in 210, so we met halfway and had a good 5 minute conversation. Like I said, caught up, and is great meeting him, and nothing but love for him and his family, as baby boy Zach, his wife Liz. give my love to them now, and yeah, it's just great. It's a great time all along. I had myself a nice overpriced can of Bud Light Lime, and got a little souvenir for Mrs. Blue Liner, and watched an okay hockey game. And yeah, it was pretty good. And so could not be happier to be there. And of course, I owe it all to Ms. Maribel Gray, who I'm proud to say did decide to renew her second season ticket plan.
Okay.
So there will be playoff games for her in the future. So just want to take this time to publicly thank her once again for allowing me that experience. And our thoughts are still with Becca and her family. Thanks again for that. So but yeah, it's a good time, but the season's over with, and with that comes the second season. And of course, we knew our opponent going in, which is now, of course, the Carolina Hurricanes. And as we did last year, we had Christian Levesque on from the True Caps Fans Facebook room. And we fired a few questions about him, about the what to expect, kind of served as a guide as far as what to expect Caps fans. Some things we didn't expect happened, but ultimately, of course, the big prize was won. So we're going to bring him on now. Christian, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Fabulous.
Awesome. Hey, I too partaked in one of those expensive adult beverages Thursday night. Set me back about $15. I didn't get a souvenir though, but I got some really cool pics.
I'm still great. Kind of in awe, I have to admit, for just how I almost spend, if I'm going to be honest, as much in adult beverages and the occasional, I don't know, nachos or whatever, and a souvenir than I do for the ticket. You know, it's so insane to me, but yet for some reason when we go to games and, you know, you kind of have that nostalgic, like, I need to have a Bud Light. I need to have this. Oh, and it's like an 18 ounce, ridiculously large can. That's awesome. Let's go with it. Oh, I'm sorry. How much is it? $17.50? I'll take the 20 and keep the change. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God. And then I get home and I'm like, the fuck? Like, I could get, you know, 24 of those for that amount at the store, 48, depending on which kind of beer you're drinking. But yeah, so it's all about, you know, just loving, just being there and seeing everything. I just love being amongst the fans. So that to me is always the such a good time.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely.
Okay. Yeah. So, way to close out the season. But we're in the second season now, and with that comes the challenge. Now this first round, again, as I said, the opponent is the Carolina Hurricanes, And I mentioned history before. Now, here's something interesting. A playoff series, well, kind of like we did last year, an opponent that we have no history with. So it can be said that we don't really know what to expect here, except if you go by the regular season, well, it was a sweep. So if you go by that, then some would say this is a cakewalk. Now, I will refer to the poll that I posted on our Facebook room. And so I'm going to punch that up. The final results are this. As far as the results of what the series will be, 10 votes for Caps in 6, 7 votes for Caps in 5, 1 vote for Caps in 7. That was by Ron Schrantz, if there's anybody who is curious as to who. I think part of me thinks he was being a wiseacre, as he was known to do that back in our theater days in high school. we're turning it over to our resident expert, that, of course, being Mr. Chris Levesque. You pretty much nailed it last year, so I'm going to start out with the same question, the big question that was last year. Who is the one guy that has to turn it on, that is going to be the key player, has to be the key player for the Caps to have the same, or maybe even, well, or God forbid, close to the same success as last year?
So last year I picked Kuznetsov to be the X factor, right? And we said, oh, well, that played out, right? He led the I think the NHL in points, came in second in the Conn Smythe voting. But this year, I think my X factor would be the backstop, Braden Holtby. I think last year, going into the postseason, it was Philip Grubauer who carried the team down the stretch and started the first two games. But I think now it's going to be Holtby. It's his show. It's his time. Whatever he did this season, whatever he did last season in the postseason, if he can replicate it, he's the X factor. We win another Stanley Cup, in my opinion.
All right. So this time you're saying it's not so much the offense or the dynamic play of a Kuznetsov, but the backstopper that is going to have to be the one that that steals a game or two here and there. Okay, great. So it's a little different direction than last year, but it's testament to the fact that even in 1 year, the team has adapted and evolved its game where it's had to. So now, going in, this is a team where a lot of people would say has nothing to lose and is just happy to be there. They're potentially Cinderella at the ball. Are you concerned at all that, as they say, this is a team that's playing with house money, and what effect that would have the longer the series goes?
No, I think these guys are hungry. I think they want it again. I think whatever happened last year was far more exceeded everyone's expectations of this team. And I think the postseason run was magical for everybody, you know, for the team, for the fans, for us. But I think these guys are hungry. I think they want to do it again. I think if anything, complacency would have hit and they would have folded in this tight metropolitan division, but they didn't. They overcame adversity and played strong down the stretch and were able to overcome certain injuries, and they overcame the suspension to Tom Wilson. And look where they're at now, number one in the metropolitan division. Again, I think if they can do it and get out, you know, why not? Why not? I don't think there's any letdown. I don't think there's any hangover. I mean, they've experienced that 7-game winless streak early on around the All-Star break, but look what they did down the stretch after the All-Star break and after the trade deadline. They had one of the best records in all of the NHL. So I think they can do it again.
All good observations as usual. Now, I'm going to throw something. Well, okay, this is something we really didn't, well, until the third round. But right off the get-go, we're having to deal with something. They're having to deal with something they didn't quite have to deal with last year until, as I said, the third round. And that's a major injury. So they're going to start, well, not just start, but go through the entire playoff run without one of their top four D-men, that's Michael Kempney. How do you think that will affect things, both in the first round and beyond?
Well, Kempney was probably our biggest pickup at the trade deadline last year and played well down the stretch and extremely well in the postseason and proved to be one of the best skaters on the team. I think with the pickup of Jansen was just as big or just as huge as the pickup of Kempney. Not knowing that we would lose Kempney for the rest of the season to include the postseason, but I think it will be all right. We got Siegenthaler, and Siegenthaler's got some NHL experience underneath his belt. He played pretty good, I thought, during the season, and it was just a numbers game on the reason why he was sent back down to Hershey. But he had a lot of playing time in Hershey, so having him as depth, well, I think will really shine. If anything, you know, we could probably limit some of the ice time for Orpik. But I think down the long run, I think we're going to be pretty good.
All right. Sounds great. So what do you think the overall game plan should be with a team like Carolina? They seem to excel as far as getting shots on net. Their goaltending is above average. I don't see any glaring weakness. They just don't have the firepower that the Caps do. But what if anything of a concern, and I don't want to overlook them, but admittedly they are underdogs, if not severe underdogs. What if anything of a concern though does this team present?
They are going in as underdogs, but what scares me the most, or doesn't necessarily keep me up at night yet, is the fact that they have Justin Williams and Jordan Staal on that team. Now, both of them have Stanley Cup experience. Both of them have rings. Justin Williams has got 3 Stanley Cups. I think that experience alone has really done a lot for that team and that clubhouse. You know, we've all looked and saw and enjoyed the storm surge after huge wins during the season. I know Don Cherry called them a bunch of jerks. I called our guy a jerk, and it seemed to add more fuel to the fire. But I think that in having the new head coach, his name is slipping my mind. He was one of my favorite players not too long ago.
Rod Brind'Amour.
Rod Brind'Amour, exactly. It's brought a new attitude to that team. The team has gotten a lot closer, sort of like our guys have. They've got great clubhouse chemistry. They've got balanced scoring. Their penalty kill is superb. They scare me. Now, I know we were, I think, 3-0. I think we beat them, swept them during the season. But the regular season records come playoff time to me are erased, and this is a clean slate. I do think they will pose a problem because this is the postseason. They're a young team, fast team with great veteran leadership. But I think overall we'll be able to get past them.
Yeah, you bring up a good point in the penalty kill. They thanks for reminding me of that. They were in the upper echelon of the league pretty much the whole year as far as that goes. So how much of a factor do you think the officiating and anything in the way of power play chances that the Caps get, will it be a case where the Caps kind of live and die by that? Because I've noticed that when they do, sometimes they die more than live. So is that a concern for you at all, or is there another part to their game plan that'll help them win out?
Well, I am concerned about the power play unit. Down the stretch, to me, it seemed like, you know, can we give the power play away and go back 5-on-5? That's how concerned I am about the power play. Seriously, can we just give it back? You know, look, Carolina's PK has a lot of moving pieces, and they are aggressive on the PK. That concerns me. And being aggressive like that probably gives you more shorthanded chances, and we've given up a lot of shorthanded goals this season. I'm concerned about our power play unit. That used to be our bread and butter last year and year before that. But not unless they're keeping something under wraps and doing something we don't know, and they're going to do something totally different come Thursday night. I am concerned. I'm hoping to God that sometimes the referees will just swallow their whistles and let them play hockey during the postseason. And we've seen that before. But yeah, I'm a little concerned about our power play unit going against this this young Hurricanes team.
Yeah, I would say I'd have to agree if that's one pardon me, one weak that our team has, it's that the inconsistency on special teams. You never want to see that decide a series, but oftentimes it does. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how the coaching staff makes that adjustment if after, say, the first two games, the power play units just don't get it done, because that might be, I don't know, that might be, again, something where the game is won and lost. But then again, it might not be, because, and I agree that while the power play is a concern, I would say that over the course of the last 20 games or so, and I know the regular season isn't that great a barometer compared to the playoffs, but I would say that the 5-on-5 play over the last 20 games or so has been much improved. And that was the big question going into last year's playoffs, is how they would match up 5-on-5. Versus anybody. Now, that all said, and again, we don't want to overlook the first round opponent. And I think they are going to give us a test, and I do think that this thing is going to go at least five games. They're probably going to steal at least one game. But that all said, assuming the Caps get past the first round and move on, and perhaps beyond that, looking forward, who do you see as potential trouble, both in the Metro and maybe beyond, going forward in the playoffs?
Well, we've got Pittsburgh and the Islanders in the other game, in the other series. I do like the fact that the Islanders bring new blood into the postseason, but unfortunately, I just don't see them getting past Pittsburgh. I see us possibly for getting past Carolina in six games. It's a prime matchup with us in Pittsburgh again, you know, deja vu, right? And then right. There's Columbus and Tampa. Wow, I'd love to see Columbus knock off Tampa. I think Columbus can knock off Tampa. Columbus plays a hard, physical brand of hockey. This is something I didn't want to face during the first round, and I think ideally we've got the right matchup with Carolina. But Columbus going in with Tampa will be a rough series for Tampa. Tampa hasn't really faced any adversity this season, and I think they're primed and ready for an upset. And I'd love to see Columbus knock off Tampa in the first round.
You and me both.
Yeah, that.
And then we got the Boston Bruins in Toronto, right? That's an original six matchup.
That's going to be absolutely. Going up and down the lineup, the series, there's not a bad one. There's not one at all that I would say, I can do without that one. Mm-hmm. So this is, you know, one of those times where, you know, I kind of wish, I had NHL Network, but I'm sure, you know, NBC Sports Network will do, you know, what they can to, you know, bring us double coverage. But all of those series, Not a bad one in the lot. Now you got round, like you said, rounding out the East, Tampa Bay, Columbus. That's going to be a hell of a series. I think Columbus is going to put up one hell of a fight. I don't know past Tampa, but you know they're going to put up one hell of a fight.
Tortorella and sleeve.
he always does. Right. He always does. Yeah, you're right. You are right about that. And then you also mentioned the Bruins Leaf series. That one's got oodles and oodles of history to it. along with everything else. And of course, the new element, how's Tavares going to do with his new team? And, the Bruins are always, that brick wall you have to get past. So that's going to be a hell of a series too. And then you go over to the West and it's, the Central Jets and Blues. Blues were left for dead at one point in the season.
They were absolutely the last or the worst team at one point during the season.
Yes. And then Craig Berube, ex-Cap, took over, and they played Jordan Binnington more in goal, and they started winning a lot more, and they ended up third, but they were challenging for the Central Division lead at one point, and they play the Winnipeg Jets. That's going to be a pretty good series. And then the other Central series is going to be Predators Stars. Of course, I've got family in Dallas that's pulling for the Stars, of course. So that's going to be an
interesting. Really? Oh, yeah. I fucking hate Nashville. I really, really do. But going back to that Jets. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to ask you, in your time, you were just in Nashville. Did you have some bad barbecue there recently or something?
I didn't make it to Nashville. I didn't tell you this? No.
No.
No, the day we were supposed to go, or the day before we were supposed to go, Ian was feeling ill.
And
it got progressively worse, and he came down with pneumonia. So, Nashville was the best. Yeah, he is much better, thank you. But, yeah, it was not a good time at all. So I just like the city that much more because I didn't get a chance to go. But going back to Blues Jets, I have the Jets for this particular series because I feel like, last year they were so close. Winnipeg was so ready to get into the Stanley Cup, and they're just out to kill this year. But what a lot of people may not know about, how young a lot of the Jets players are is just their height. And I will say they have one player on their team that is 5'10", which could be considered average height for a male. That's just one. And the remaining roster, you don't have
Maddie
any.
P.
you have, yeah, exactly. You have anywhere between 6'2 and 6'8". You've got huge, young players on this team. And this is, they want to bring the cup back to Canada. They want to bring it back to Winnipeg for sure. So I'm actually looking forward to this, even though my mother and I are always at odds when it comes to hockey. This will be the one time that I will pull for the Jets. But I think it'll, I don't know. It's going to be good. I mean, you got Hellebuck, you've got Patrick Laine, there's some good players on that team. But like you guys said, I mean, the Blues were, they were out and they came back. So obviously they're in this, in this playoff. They earned it. Can they keep it going? I don't know.
All right. So you're saying Jets, watch out for the Jets in the West.
Correct.
Okay. So rounding out the West, in the Pacific, the two series in the Pacific, it's Sharks, Golden Knights.
Ugh. Don't even.
Yeah, I think we all know who we're going for in that one. And then Flames Avalanche. That's going to be if there's a series that's an X factor, that's that one right there. I think everybody's thinking the Flames are a shoe-in, but I wouldn't be so sure about that.
I'm torn. Yeah. I have to be honest, it's hard to choose. This is why I don't do brackets, because I find myself getting emotionally attached to players that I don't need to, because they don't they don't care who I am. But I find, if there's a team I like or players that I like, I want to pull for them. If I remove myself from the situation, I feel like Calgary may have more of a desire to win. But my heart wants to see Grubauer just kick ass for the Avalanche because he's just a good guy. But Calgary has Johnny Hockey. So, you kind of have this, these players that, I don't mind. I don't know, but I do. I think the Flames will take the Avalanche, but I do think it's going to be a 6-game series.
Yeah, that one actually could end up going. I can see that series having like 3 overtime games in it.
True.
That could be the one that everybody's, you know, feeling is a sleeper, but yet actually could turn out to be the most exciting series.
I agree. And because I think when it comes down to the Sharks Knights, I mean, just for, you know, just my ties to the Bay Area and following the Sharks, like my initial hockey team and aside from the Jets, that one's just going to be a lot of pomp and circumstances, which the kind of shit I can't stand. And that's coming from the night side. Like, it's just, you know, like I would just really love for them to not even have an opportunity to play in Vegas, like take the team and take the Sharks and go like, I don't know, in the middle of like a Barstow, like fucking nowhere. And have them play 5-on-5 and let's see the talent that way. I don't want to see all the bullshit, you know, song, dance, dramatic performances that take like 45 minutes prior to the game. I just want them to come out and play. And if they've earned their spot, great. I still don't see an appealing factor with, they're not a Cinderella team that I am even ever going to pull for. Carolina, I respect, I'm glad we're going into our first playoff series against them because I think it's a good match for us. And also the fact that if you look back at the games that we've played with them, the penalties have been minimal, maybe 2. And I think the last time we played them, there were 2 penalties and they were on Carolina. So I think that's going to work in our favor. But the Sharks Knights, like it just gets me going. Like that's going to be the one game that I'm just going to have just ready to, yeah. Like watch out, like Twitter will probably ban me and be like, listen, you take it down a notch. But yeah, that's the one. But I agree, Gail, with you and the Calgary Avalanche. I think that's another one. Like, don't excuse these teams. They earned their place in this playoff series. You know, there isn't a team that came in here. It's like they don't deserve it. Everyone earned it. It's just a matter of who's going to step up, who's going to come out 5-on-5, and who's going to give 100%. And most importantly, who's going to give the fans and their teammate 60 minutes.
Well, you were talking about the Golden Knights and their pregame ceremonies. Well, it ought to be said that there was no hockey in medieval times, so there shouldn't be hockey at medieval times.
And I agree.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, it's a little over the top.
Yeah, I liked it at first, but then yeah, it got to be a little too much. So that's neither here nor there. Okay, so I think this is a good place to wrap it up. We're getting on in time. Christian, did you have any final thoughts? Any other aspects of the playoffs that Caps fans should look for? Anything you want to throw out there?
It should be exciting. The second season is always a blast. I'll start getting nervous tomorrow afternoon as we inch closer to Thursday. I'm very superstitious. I won't grow a beard. I didn't grow a beard last year. I'll probably sit in the same side of the couch like I did all playoff series. I will probably talk to the television like I did. But one thing I want to tell the fellow Cap fans is don't discount the Carolina Hurricanes. I saw on some blogs and some, you know, Facebook pages and on Twitter that, oh, the Capitals have a first round bye against the Carolina Hurricanes.
No way.
Negative Ghost Rider. The Carolina Hurricanes could surprise us all. Now, I know we have a target on our back. I was explaining that to some fans earlier this year. Teams will bring their A game to play against us every night because we're the reigning Stanley Cup champions. No matter what, these teams are going to play their hardest. They're going to play their best. They're going to throw everything at us, to include the kitchen sink, in order to knock us off. You know, it's classic King of the Hill, right? So I expect that. But it should be fun. We should just get ready, buckle up, and, you know, get ready for this ride. It should be enjoyable.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I think you nailed it there. And I keep wanting to tell fans out there, you know, come on, this is where we have a clean slate. Everybody at this point going into Thursday has the same record. And that's all that matters. You know, Tampa Bay could choke. I said it a couple of times this weekend, and I think people were like, how dare you? But mm-hmm. you don't know. I mean, yes, they kicked ass for that this last season. But you know what? That's behind us. How they do with the pressure of the playoffs is really going to say a lot. So they could choke. That would be amazing. You just don't know. But at this point, anybody who's watching it should just think everyone's at the same level. Everyone has to come out 5-on-5, you know, 100%, 60 minutes, and how exciting this time of year is.
Yep. I think that's a good statement to go by. And yeah, I couldn't agree more. This is not a team to take lightly. This is not a group of players that is to be looked over. And to do that, I think, would be a grievous mistake, because if anybody's capable of carrying the momentum that they have, especially, you know, I saw the Twitter video. I hope everybody else did too. This fan base is hungry and supporting this team, and hungry for the playoffs and hungry for success. So to look them over with them riding that wave of emotion.
No way.
You can't, you just can't. And to do so would be an error that is unforgivable. So I think with that, we're going to stop it here for the week. And I feel good about what we've put out there. I feel good about this team. I'm not going to say we've got it won, but I feel fairly confident. I like the way that they've been playing. Like I said, the 5-on-5 play has improved. I think that'll mainly be the difference, as long as, you know, the officiating stays consistent. Fingers crossed. Dear God, please stay consistent. And so it's Thursday night, 7 o'clock puck drop. And I don't know. I haven't checked, but is NBC carrying all four rounds, or are they going to let Joby and Locker do the TV?
No, I think the first round is Joby and Locker.
Okay,
and then
thank
once
God.
We get past the second round, it goes back to NBC Sports.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. So we at least have we'll at least have them to enjoy for several more games, and so yeah, thank goodness for that. So we're going to wrap it up here. Anna, did you have any final thoughts as well?
No.
Okay.
I didn't.
She's speechless. Unbelievable.
That's a rarity right there. That's a rarity.
All right, but all kidding aside, if you want more of Anna, and everybody always does, you can catch her on Sports
really
on the Hill, like she was on last night, and every Monday night on Facebook Live via the True Radio Network. They start at 7 o'clock. Usually begin with Caps Talk. So next week ought to be interesting, as the first round is mostly in the books. Oh, so you did have something to say?
I did. Sorry.
Go ahead. Go right ahead.
When you're, you know, prefacing this, who wants more of me, which is like probably my husband, this is not the only person that's going to respond to that, is the fact that I had an opportunity on the weekend after coming back from New England to be on Josh Kirby's show.
Thank you for reminding me. I almost forgot.
Up and coming podcaster, local guy, super fantastic, diehard fan of, and it, you know, he does all sports also, not in competition with Sports on the Hill. They're big supporters of each other, but because you and Robbie couldn't go on, I had to represent. So I recorded with him. It was really great. So if anybody has an opportunity on SoundCloud, you can find Josh Kirby on Sports. And he's also on Facebook. So yeah, a good guy. We're super happy to support him. And I think he's just going to kick ass in the future.
Awesome. Yes. And awesome. I did also, just to put this out there, I did also find his podcast on Podbean as well. So
he's on that
distributor. So yes. So yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, catch his show. You won't regret it. Good stuff, funny stuff, very entertaining, and they cover a lot of, if not all, the DC sports scene. So pretty good show. Definitely worth your time. Okay, so for that, and for both Anna Knox and our special guest Christian Levesque, thank you, Chris, again for coming on with us.
And my pleasure.
Doing what you do so well, and
thank you.
We hope to have you on again later on as the playoffs wear down for your continued expert analysis. And for the both of them, this is the Blue Liner On Point signing off and reminding you that a fake noodle is what.
That he has to be subjected to this live. I'm saying sorry, Christian. Last week it was Robbie, but all right, do your thing, Gil.
Well, Robbie didn't mind. I don't think Christian will mind either.
Go ahead. I don't mind.
Okay, so in honor of my dinner, I'm reminding you that a fake noodle is nothing more than an impasta.
Don't encourage, Christian. Don't encourage.
Hallelujah! And let's go, Caps.
Let's go, Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Is it live? Is it Memorex? Or is it Mermaid?
That was good. I'll give you that one.